verse number 13. We've been talking about wisdom now for, three or four Wednesday nights now. And we talked about what it is, where it comes from, how to get it. And last week we talked about seven pillars of wisdom. And tonight we're going to consider this passage and a couple others in chapter 3 is where we begin. Verse number 13, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 13. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold, which is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire, not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. We'll stop our reading right there. But you notice verse number 14 says this about wisdom. The merchandise of wisdom is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain that you get from wisdom is better than the gain that you get from fine gold. So I want to talk about the merchandise of wisdom. In Colossians chapter 2, verse number 3, it refers to the treasures of wisdom and knowledge and the fact that they're hid in Christ. But I want to talk about the treasures of wisdom or the merchandise of wisdom. Verse 14 has to do with the fact that there are some things that wisdom provides that you can get from wisdom that you cannot get from silver. And there is gain and benefit from wisdom that is more than you can gain and benefit from fine gold. In other words, there are some things that wisdom will give you that all the money in the world won't buy you, that you cannot get with any amount of money. The merchandise of wisdom is better, and the gain of wisdom from wisdom is better. Now, remember, wisdom is defined as seeing things the way God sees things, looking at things from God's point of view and seeing things, whether it be an issue or a decision or a situation or a doctrine or whatever, seeing it the way God sees it. And then, of course, acting upon it. And that is, chapter 4 says in verse number 7, wisdom is the principal thing, as in the main thing, the most important thing, is to see things the way God sees it, not the way you see it, not the way the world sees it, not the way man in general sees it, not the way your friends see it, or anybody else sees it, but see it the way God sees it. That's wisdom. And so wisdom is the principal thing, chapter 4, verse 7, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. We also defined understanding as simply standing under. It has to do with submitting to it. And if we will do that, then it's all going to come together, and it will make sense. The light will come on. If we will stand under it, then we will get it. All righty? So, chapter 3, let's talk about the merchandise or the treasures of wisdom. Several things are listed here in this passage that we read in chapter number 3. The merchandise of wisdom is better than the merchandise of silver. And the gain from wisdom is better than the gain from gold. It's more precious than rubies, the Bible says, wisdom is. All the things you can desire. Boy, what a statement that is. You ever think about all the things that you could desire? You could desire rain. You could desire cooler temperatures. You could desire more money. You could desire more opportunities. You could desire a bigger house, nicer car. You could desire that you could have a Buick like some of us do. You could have all kinds of desires, all righty? You could desire that the Hawkeyes go undefeated and win the national championship. Or you could have all kinds of fantasies, too. That never, ever happen. All the things thou canst desire. Some of them be pretty good. Some of them wouldn't be so hot. Some of them you might be glad that you got those desires. Some of them you might get, and ooh, I wish I didn't have that. But you know, the Bible says, all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared to wisdom. If you could just see things the way God sees things, look at things from God's point of view, that's not any comparison to anything else that you could ever want. So here are some of the treasures of wisdom, some of the merchandise that comes from wisdom that you can't buy with money. Verse 16, length of days is in her right hand. Length of days. Verse number 1 and 2 refers to length of days too. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days, long life and peace shall they add to thee. Length of days has to do with the fact that you have essentially a 25-hour day. Do you ever just wish there was more hours in the day? You got so much to do. You just wish you had more hours in the day. Even if you needed more hours in the day just so you could get a little more rest, get a little more sleep. You're going to work 17 hours or 18 hours a day. It sure would be nice to have a 25 or 26-hour day so you could still kick in 7 or 8 hours of rest. Here's what most of us would do. If we had a 27 or 28-hour day, we'd work 20 of them, 26, 24. We'd work most of it anyway. If God gave us extra hours, we'd probably use it to work, not rest. But the thing is, we get really, really, really busy, and we think, I just need more time. The days just go too fast. Well, I've heard that from a lot of people this summer. This has been the fastest summer ever. But actually, every week of this summer had 168 hours in them, and every one of those hours still had 60 seconds. It was the exact same length of time as it has been since the flood, at least. But we think all the time, boy, I just need more time. If I just had more time to do that, length of days is more time. Now listen carefully. We understand that God, if God gives you wisdom, that doesn't mean that you're going to get a brand new watch in the mail and lo and behold, it's going to go to 13 o'clock. That's not going to happen. What we understand this to mean is you're going to be able to get more done in your day. If you would look at things the way God looks at things, you're going to have length of days. In other words, you'll have the time that you need to get done what you need to do. See, here's how that works. Our lives get so busy, and our schedules get so full, it's not because God gives us more than we can do. It's because God gives us what He wants us to do, and then we keep adding into it things that we want to do. Lo and behold, I can't get everything done because we don't have wisdom. What is it I'm supposed to do today? And what is it I'm not supposed to do today? What does God see from God's standpoint as God looks at my life and God looks at my responsibilities, what His will for my life is? What is it that He wants me to do? And what is it that He wants me to not do? Wisdom will help you to see the difference. All righty? And so, that's one of the things. You can't buy that with money. Length of days. All right, verse 16 says in chapter 3, length of days in her right hand. In her left hand, the Bible says, riches and honor. Now, don't even think for a minute that that means money. All righty? Now, certainly, God has promised to meet our needs. That is a great promise. And by the way, let me just give you a little warning. That promise is still true in these days we're living in. No matter what the state of the economy or the price of gasoline or the price of groceries or the price of anything else or the worth of a dollar, God has promised to meet your needs. All righty? And his promise is not based upon the rate of inflation or rate of interest or anything else. His promise is based upon his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Alrighty, now, that's important. God has said that he would. Wisdom helps us as we see what God sees. God shows us then, gives us wisdom about what to do with the money that we have. He gives us wisdom to establish priorities. This is what I should be spending my money on. This is what I should not be spending my money on. This is what God sees as a priority. This is what God sees as important. This is what God sees as secondary. And put it on the back burner if you need to. God sees all that. God sees what is most helpful and most necessary for you to do with the money that you have. So, wisdom, when it comes to riches and money, wisdom is really what you need. You can't always, kind of like time, get more money. Some people can, and sometimes you can, but many people are on what we call a fixed income. Most fixed incomes are broke, I notice, but still people live on a specific or definite amount of money. And you can't necessarily change that, at least not by large amounts anyway. So what we need is wisdom, just like our 168 hours a week. We need wisdom on what we're going to do with them for our 24 hours a day. What are we going to do with those 24 hours a day? So with the X amount of dollars that the Lord allots to us in a certain time period, we need wisdom what to do with that as well. And we can have that as we see it the way God sees it. We really can. All righty. So this matter of riches, when it comes to money, wisdom is really, really necessary when it comes to money. But again, this matter of riches, in her left hand is riches, is not simply a reference to money. The blessing of the Lord, the Bible tells us that's what makes us rich. James refers to being rich in faith. And when we consider riches in that sense, wisdom is what provides the riches of faith, which opens all kinds of opportunities and brings all kinds of blessings. The blessing of the Lord comes in response to faith. Because faith then kicks in this thing called obedience to what God has said. Faith comes by hearing God's word, which you remember is a source of wisdom, the way God sees things. And you believe what God has said, so you do what God says. Lo and behold, it works. What a blessing that is. And you consider your life to be full. And a rich life, rich as in full. Sometimes we hear about some, you hear advertisements about ladies' hair, how it's rich and full. I don't know what that means. I don't pay a whole lot of attention to rich and full when it comes to hair and shampoo and all that kind of stuff, you know. sometimes you make a dessert. Especially a chocolate one. I said, man, that's rich. What does that mean? You bite into it and you got money coming out? No, riches is not money. It means it's full. It's strong. Strong, rich, chocolatey flavor or rich, full body in your hair or something like that. And your life is rich as in it's just blessed by God. Every time you turn around, you're seeing the hand of God. You're seeing God keep his word. You're seeing God meet a need. You're seeing God answer a prayer. You're seeing God give wisdom. You're seeing God lead your steps and stuff. What a rich, rich life. The Bible says that's in the left hand of wisdom. It's in the left hand of wisdom, riches and honor and honor. That doesn't mean that you get your name in the headlines and so forth and you win all these awards and medallions and certificates and plaques and trophies and all this kind of stuff. It means God gives you, God honors your life. He honors your faith. He honors your obedience when he shows you what he sees, and he shows you wisdom as the way God sees it, the way God thinks about it, God's viewpoint on things. And you live by that, and you stand under that. The Bible says that your life is going to be honored. It's going to be honored by God, not necessarily man. It's going to be honored by God. He said in 1 Samuel that them that honor me, I will honor. That's what he said. And your life is going to be an honorable life. What a rich thing that is. Right? The merchandise of wisdom not includes length of days, riches, and honor. Verse 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness. Ways of pleasantness. Pleasantness. Let me ask you this question. If you had a choice between having a pleasant life and a miserable life, how many would choose pleasant? One, two. Okay. Now if I'm going to count them, you put your hand up, all right? If I'm not going to count them, you're not going to put your hand up. All right? I would guess probably it's unanimous. Everybody would rather have a pleasant life than a miserable life. Would you rather have a pleasant attitude, or would you rather be a grouch? Did you ever get a bad attitude about something and you really don't want to get over it just yet? I like my bad attitude. Don't bother me about it. I'll get over it when I'm done with it. You ever feel that way? I want to be mad about this. I'll get over it when I'm done, good and ready. We sometimes think that way, but that's not a smart way to think. That's not the way God sees it. Pleasantness, that's the way of wisdom. It's the way of wisdom. It's a pleasant thing to be able to see things the way God sees. Because when you see things the way God sees, wisdom makes sense. You can stand under it. And it's a wonderful thing. It is a pleasant thing to know you got it right. This is not trial and error. This is not experiment. This is what God says. This is the way God sees it. This is right. It doesn't matter what the results are. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the consequences are. This is the right thing to do because that's what God said. That's the way God sees it. And that's what God wants me to do. And so that's what I'm going to do. Boy, that's pleasant. That's pleasant. All her paths, the Bible says, peace. What a treasure that is. Peace. The merchandise of wisdom is peace. You can't go to Walmart and buy peace, or Hy-Vee, Target, or anywhere else. You can't find it on the internet. You can't find it on Amazon or eBay. You cannot find peace for sale. It comes from wisdom. Whether you're talking about your busy, busy, busy schedule, whether you're talking about your financial struggles with these riches, whether you're talking about pleasantness or worry and fear and just a cloud hanging over your life. The path of wisdom is peace, peaceful. You'll see the way God sees. You'll see from God's point of view, from God's mindset, there's a peace there. I'm doing what God wants me to do. I have what God wants me to have. I know what God wants me to know. There's a peace there. There's a peace there. All our paths are peace. Verse 18, here's another one. A tree of life. She's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. You know what a tree of life is? Well, number one, literally, there's a tree of life in the Garden of Eden. It was a tree that had some kind of fruit on it. I don't know what it was. Probably peaches, but that's just my preference. I don't know what it was. Maybe blueberries. I don't know what they were. But it was some kind of tree that Adam and Eve could have eaten. And if they would have, they would have lived forever. And that's the reason when they sinned, became fallen creatures out of fellowship with God, God had to put these flaming cherubims all around it so they couldn't get to that tree and live forever in a fallen condition. Because that's what the tree of life would do. It just completely restored your life, kept perpetuated your life. That's what I'm looking for. Perpetuated your life. It just kept your life going. You just lived by the tree of life. Physically, you live forever. That's what the tree of life was for. It shows up again at the other end of the Bible in Revelation chapter 22 by that river that flows by the throne of God. The tree of life shows up again. Guess what? There will be a time in the future people will need access to that tree of life. This will be after the rapture, after the final resurrection. People are born and they need to live physically forever. Tree of life. There it is. A tree of life is what perpetuates life, literally, physically. Now, spiritually speaking, that's what wisdom is. It perpetuates our life. It's like we talked about when we preached the last couple Sunday mornings ago about the Word of God from Psalm 119, how it quickens us. That's what God's Word does to us. The source of our wisdom, God's Word, it quickens us. What that means is, just as we sang in our first song tonight, it revives us again. It energizes us again. It fires us up again, and it gives us life again. And wisdom is that tree of life. We just go and pluck that fruit of wisdom. We just, when we think we're getting just melting, and we're just dying, and we're just getting so flat and so cold and so you know, just kind of going through the motions and everything, and we've lost the zeal, and we lost the drive, we lost the energy. Start looking at things the way God sees it. Wisdom will energize you again. You pluck off some of that fruit of wisdom, and it perpetuates your life again. And then the next treasure is verse number 18, happiness. Happy is everyone that retaineth her. Not happy is everyone that hears about it or knows about it. Happy is everyone that retains wisdom. Retains it. Solomon, boy, he is a classic. Wisest man ever. But he didn't retain it. You know, there was a day in his life he was indeed a very happy man. But after about wife number 647 or somewhere, and I don't know how many wives it took, but the Bible says his wives turned away his heart, and he loved many strange women, the Bible says, even though Proverbs is full of warnings about strange women. That's simply a woman that's not yours. But they turned away his heart. And he didn't die a happy man. Happy is everyone that retains wisdom. It's a happy thing to see things the way God sees things. You know, you look at the state of the world today, and men's hearts fail them for fear of looking on the things that are coming on this world, Luke chapter 21 says, and yet we got that peace there that comes from verse number 17. There's still that pleasantness about our life in spite of everything going on in the world and how ugly it is. There's something that just makes life different when you see it the way God sees it. Wisdom has merchandise that silver and fine gold cannot provide. Length of days, riches, honor, pleasantness, peace, tree of life, happiness. Chapter 2 gives you a few more. Let me just go quickly through these. Chapter 2, verse number 10. Chapter 2, verse number 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. See, one of the treasures of wisdom, and by the way, knowledge and discretion, remember those are two of the pillars of wisdom that we looked at last Wednesday night. But it'll preserve you and keep you, the Bible says. Chapter 4 said pretty much the same thing in verse number 6, talking about wisdom and understanding. Forsake her not, she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Preservation. Jude says, the Lord is able to keep thee from falling. Seeing things the way God sees will do exactly that. It will preserve you. It will keep you and help you. It'll keep you out of a whole lot of trouble. Chapter 1 talks about that as well. Towards the end of chapter 1, you can read that on your own. But preservation is one. Chapter 2 here, verse number 12. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. One of the treasures of wisdom is deliverance. It'll deliver thee from the direction that the evil man goes. You won't go the way of the evil man. Deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Froward means twisted. There's a lot of twisted minds in the world today, isn't there? Listen, you won't go that way if you will continue to look at things the way God does. See, when people, they grow up in a Christian home, they grow up in a Bible-believing church, many times even in a Christian school, and their life seems to be relatively in order, and yet there comes a point in time, it's just completely off the wall. What happened? Well, what happened is they quit seeing things the way God does. They quit looking at things from God's point of view. They didn't retain any wisdom they might have had. And they lost their deliverance, their protection, their promise of that. And they ended up in the way of the evil man. And they ended up listening to and believing and buying into these twisted, froward things that people believe. So they end up leaving the paths of uprightness, verse 13 says, to instead walk in the ways of darkness. They end up rejoicing to do evil, verse 14 says, delighting in the frowardness of the wicked. Wisdom. Seeing things the way God does will deliver you from that. Verse 16 says, it'll deliver thee from the strange woman. The strange woman, again, is one that's not yours. Even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. She forsakes the guide of her youth. Jeremiah says, the guide of your youth is your dad. She forgets the covenant of her God. But the Bible tells us that when wisdom enters into your heart, then discretion is going to preserve you and keep you and deliver you from the way of the evil man and from the strange woman. And verse number 20, it will enable you to walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. In all of our skepticism and cynicism, the fact of the matter is there are good folks in this world that know God, love God, believe God, and obey God. There's not perfect people in this world, but there's some pretty good folks. And there's pretty good folks in your world, too. And the fact of the matter is, there are folks who are role models and good examples and things like that. And wisdom, seeing things the way God sees things, will enable us to be delivered from the man that, or the people, the way, who leave the paths of uprightness and walk in the ways of darkness, and to deliver us from the strange woman, which flatters with her tongue and forsakes the guide of her youth, and it will instead enable us to walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. If we'll keep our eyes on what God's got his eyes on, if we'll keep our eyes seeing what God's eyes see, we'll have wisdom, and it will give us preservation and deliverance and direction. Chapter 4, then, lastly, gives us just a few more treasures of wisdom. Chapter 4, we have read these verses, I think, every week in this study on wisdom. Get wisdom, verse number 5 says, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth, forsake her not. She shall preserve thee. We already talked about that. Love her, she shall keep thee. We talked about that. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. Verse number 8 then says this, exalt her. And she shall promote thee. You see, if we would get wisdom, if we would see what God sees, look at things the way God looks at things, have that wisdom, We don't have to promote ourselves. We do not have to promote ourselves. Self-promotion is a deadly, deadly thing. It is the explanation for a whole lot of the nonsense that goes on in our world today. This know also in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves more than lovers of God. All right? The Bible tells us in Psalm number 75 that promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. What's that leave? Comes from the north. We don't have time to track all the scripture down that. That means God. And that's what the next verse in Psalm 75, I think it'd be verse number 6, tells us. That promotion doesn't come from that direction, or that direction. It comes from God. It comes from God. All righty? And it comes in response to wisdom. You exalt wisdom. You make a big deal about wisdom. You exalt the fact, I want to see things. I want to see my life and everything about my life. Everything about this world, I want to see it through God's eyes. I want to see it the way God sees it. I want to be wise about it. Got to promote thee, as in opportunities. Opportunities. That is a treasure of wisdom. Verse number 8 again. She shall bring thee to honor. Thou dost embrace her. Give wisdom a great big hug. And you will have an honored and an honorable life. If you will embrace wisdom. Verse number 9. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. An ornament of grace. God's grace on your head. Wow. Think about that. God's grace. You know what God's grace is? What's our definition of grace that we use around here? God's willingness to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. And you can have that ornament of God's willingness to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. You can have that on your head. That's pretty neat. That is an impressive life. That is an honored life and an honorable life and a promoted life. Your life is marked by the miraculous. Your life is marked by God's grace to you. It's evident in your life. Your life cannot be explained by mere human factors. It has to be God's grace that enables your life to be what it is. To be as rich and full, as pleasant, as happy, as peaceful as it is. We don't mean you don't ever have any trouble. We're talking about what's inside of you. God's grace. The opportunities he presents. The blessings that he gives. The way that he helps. The way that he answers. The way that he leads. The way that he blesses. Your marriage, your children, home, your service to him. Ornament of grace. The things you're able to do that people say, I could never, ever do that. We talked Sunday morning in one of our points about the things we think, I just never, ever could bear that. But he will, with the temptation, make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. That's called grace. Ability beyond your ability. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, the ability to give beyond your ability to give is called grace. Grace. And that's what characterizes your life. It just hangs over your head. Instead of a big black cloud, you got this big, glorious grace. An ornament of grace. God is always helping you. It just seems like your prayers get answered. And God helps you all the time. And it seems like for a while maybe God's not helping you. You even realize because you've seen it the way God sees it, God's helping you when he's not helping you. That's weird. But he is. And you see it. And you know it. And you don't despair. And you still have that peace and that pleasantness and even that happiness. Because you have an ornament of grace on your head. Verse number 9 says, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. A crown of glory. A glorious life that is an honor to God. All righty? Honor to God. Verse number 12, let me give you this and we'll quit. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Straitened, S-T-R-A-I-T-E-N-D, E-N-E-D. Thy steps shall not be straitened. You know what that means? That means you don't have to spend all your life walking a tightrope. You know, like you're trying to cross the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. You cannot afford one little misstep. If you slip, you're done. Your steps are not going to be straightened. You're not going to feel like you're walking on eggshells. That would drive you nuts. You ever feel like that's how you got to? You don't have to be that way. Your steps will not be straightened. On the other hand, when you run, you're not going to stumble because you see things the way God sees things. 1 Peter chapter 2 says the things that people stumble over is the Word of God. Things they don't see because they miss it in the Word of God. All righty? So wisdom, though, helps us to see, or wisdom is seeing what God sees, seeing things the way God sees them. And when we have that, you'll be able to run with patience the race set before you and not be stumbling over everything because you look at everything through God's eyes, through the eyes of wisdom. All righty? So sure-footedness is a treasure. Steadiness. That makes sense. All righty? So these are several things that comes under the category of the merchandise of wisdom that cannot be had with silver or fine gold or rubies. And there's nothing to be compared to these things. Length of days, riches and honor, pleasantness, peace, the tree of life, happiness, preservation, deliverance, and protection, direction, promotion, honor, grace, a crown of glory, and sure-footedness when you go in your way. All right, let's stand, we'll pray, and go our way. All right, appreciate you being here tonight. Remember to pray for the services on the Lord's Day, and pray with the Lord and meet with us. All righty, we're going to have a good day on the Lord's Day. Appreciate you being here tonight. Be careful going home. Dear Lord, we are grateful again for the privilege to meet, to pray together, and to study the Word of God. I pray, dear Lord, that you would